God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Evolutionists won't give up, and those of us who are creationists won't either. Beginning today and continuing through Thursday, Brother Hutchings visits with Dr. Aaron Judkins and Dr. Carl Ball. Dr. Ball heads the Creation Science Museum in Glen Rose, Texas. Dr. Judkins is a researcher and speaker with a passion for creation science. He's written a brand new book entitled Evolution and Human Fossil Footprints. It's the basis for the programs this week. Brother Hutchings, would you please tell us a little bit about the book?
It's a new study on the proof that dinosaurs and human beings lived together. According to evolutionists and those who follow the Darwin theory, Brother Aaron, I believe there's something like 60 million years supposed to separate that.
Correct. Standard interpretation says that man and dinosaurs were separated by about 60 million years ago.
Yes, I have an interesting item here. It's from the Discovery Institute, and the Discovery Institute is a well-known organization, and they say here that more and more people are ditching the Darwinian theory and at least going to the subject of intelligent design. I noticed a news release from the Discovery Institute quoting Bill Gates as saying that the DNA pattern is more complicated than any of his computer programs. And Bill Gates, of course, is one of the widest known authorities on computer programs in the world, we would suppose. He's saying there is no way that the DNA program, said it had to be pre-programmed, and that there's no way it could have happened by chance. It had to be planned, according to Mr. Gates, by a programmer. And that programmer, of course, we know who that was, our good friend, Dr. Ball, from Glen Rose, Texas. Dr. Ball, that would be only one, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Dr. Hutchings, let's put some numbers to Bill Gates' statement. The incredible capacity of the DNA is beyond the analysis of human mathematics, literally. For instance, not only do we have the DNA, the cell has the DNA in the nucleus, but that DNA is simply instruction telling the rest of the cell how to function. And in the cell, we have approximately 60,000 proteins in 100 different specific configurations. Now, these are all programmed from that DNA, and this will give an idea as to why Bill Gates would make such a statement. These 60,000 proteins in 100 different specific configurations are programmed with the DNA and the RNA in symphony and synchrony. Now, not only do we need the DNA programs the RNA in small snippets to produce the proteins, which must be encapsulated in a membrane. Otherwise, in a matter of minutes, the cell begins to biodegrade. Now, to put some numbers to this, the technical literature demonstrates that the mathematical odds of naturalistic evolution or any system of random changes producing those 60,000 proteins in 100 different specific configurations, the mathematical odds are one chance in 10 to the 4,478,296 power. Now, that is beyond human comprehension. That just has to do with the proteins. And those proteins, of course, determine the structure of the hair and the eyes. And in every one of these cells is the DNA information included in all the other cells that express the toenails and the various skin features. So Bill Gates finally realized, since he is now cross-disciplinary, he invented the systems that make us function and develop those systems because we all function by a computer. And since he was the designer of the computer functions, It is logical and natural and true that in order for the DNA and the cell to function, it requires a designer ahead of its operation.
You can't make computer programs, can you?
No.
And we read in the Bible that God created all forms of life to produce after its own kind.
That's correct.
Every form of life has its own program. For example, I think man has, 46 chromosomes? Some forms of life have as many as 400.
That is correct.
Each chromosome with millions of genes.
For their specific design purpose. And I think this would be a good opportunity to give a little background for our special guest on the program, Aaron Judkins. He's been studying this subject for decades and has produced a very definitive book. And I'd like to give the broad background, his broad background, and then the reason this book that we're discussing today that you've introduced, Evolution and Human Fossil Footprints, why this is so important. Aaron Judkins is a graduate of Texas Tech University in medical science. He is a licensed medical nurse, qualified in areas of field recovery, in-flight recovery, and intensive care. He knows the human anatomy backward and forward. He also has degrees in theology, so he knows the scripture in the broad detail. But I think it would be of interest to this audience to know that while Aaron Judkins was completing his work in the medical sciences, it was brought out, and he said very little about this because he's a very humble man, but it was brought out that probably every person listening to this broadcast today has some family member whose life has been either saved or extended because of the work of the great uncle of Aaron Judkins. The great uncle of Aaron Judkins, Dr. Judkins, in the 1970s, developed the system which in medical science bears his name. It's the Judkins technology. He was a cardiologist in California. And he developed the system of heart catheterization, the stent system, angioplasty. These systems all bear his name in medical literature. He was the great uncle of our guest today. I said all of that to say that Aaron Judkins grew up with a propensity toward the medical sciences. And in so doing, when he first came to Glen Rose to do research with us, he was very proficient in his studies about the physiology of the human foot. And in his medical research, of course, he has become very proficient with the 26 bones having to do with the human foot and what each of those bones will do when that foot is depressed in mud. Now, this is very important. Human fossil footprints are extremely definitive in that over the years, as we've been examining dinosaur footprints, and Dr. Hutchings, to date, our team at Glen Rose has excavated over 600 original dinosaur footprints and over 90 original human footprints among them. Sometimes these are intermixed. That is, a human footprint will step near or step on a dinosaur print, or a dinosaur print, or the dinosaur will have stepped near or on a human footprint that was already in place. Now, we know by the uppush, that is, the mud displacement, various things, and over the decades that I've been researching in Glen Rose, we've had various scholars attendant to these excavations, and we've learned that in the human forward locomotion, the mud uppush or the mud displacement has certain characteristics, not only a depression in the mud that has now lithified to rock, but actually the displacement will be in certain areas. Now, recently, we have been able to have spiral CAT scans run of many of the fossil human and dinosaur footprints. This is a major breakthrough simply because you can carve footprints in rock. There was a man named George Adams in the 1930s who became very proficient at carving human footprints in rock. And every time we discover a new human footprint in the rock, that is assigned an age of 110 million years, and I want to emphasize assigned an age of 110 million years, you can get any age you want from radiometric procedures out of any piece of rock that you have in the laboratory. So the evolutionary community simply assigns the geologic column in systematic layering. But every time we find a new human footprint or a trail of prints, the evolutionary community says, well, it's been known since the 1930s that those tracks were carved. It's just another example of a carved footprint. Not so. We now have the access to laboratories where spiral CAT scans can be run of these footprints, and in so doing, those laboratories can determine the compression under each of the prints, the density factor in that compression, and even the forward locomotion because of the density in various areas, which means that before, Dr. Hutchings, before we end these programs with Aaron Judkins, we're going to be able to determine that the footprints featured in his book have been scientifically verified as being genuine. So I could say that we could have a subtitle to this book, Footprints Step on Evolution.
You're listening to Southwest Radio's Your Watchman on the Wall program. Brother Hutchings is visiting with Dr. Carl Ball and Dr. Aaron Judkins about evolution, and they'll be back in just a moment. In the meantime, we want to let you know how to get a copy of the amazing book, Evolution and Human Fossil Footprints. It's offered for a gift of $15 in the U.S., $17 in Canada, and you can get a copy by calling 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. I'll have more to say about the book at the close of the program, but right now, let's get back to Brother Hutchings' visit with Dr. Judkins and Dr. Ball.
Brother Aaron, in reading your book, I was just amazed at the research you've done on this book to present evidence that man and dinosaurs actually lived together. Now, if you can prove that, doesn't that destroy the Darwinian theory?
Well, it certainly would. That single piece of evidence would totally destroy that theory. Now, this isn't taught in school. I certainly never learned it in primary school, and I didn't hear of it until I moved to Glen Rose in 1997. I became very intrigued in the concept and human fossil footprints in rock, and it just blew me away. I couldn't understand why had I never heard of this subject. Why wasn't it out on the radio and in the newspapers and books? I just never heard of such a thing. So I became very intrigued and started my research, and what I found was very astonishing.
Yes, the information put forth by the Discovery Institute that the majority of those interviewed now accept at least intelligent design rather than the evolutionary theory. But this Darwinian theory is still in all the school books, still published, still proposed by the NEA, the educational institutions. Do you think that a teacher that really got up in classroom and taught special creation in a science class, do you think that that would be even permissible even today?
Well, academically, they won't allow it to teach scientific creation or biblical creation. Now, according to the Supreme Court in Edwards versus Aguilar, 1987, stated that they did not grant teachers any new powers to teach any theory. In other words, they can teach the strengths and weaknesses of any theory that they want to. The Supreme Court said, we're not going to grant you any new powers because you don't need them. You already have the right to teach it. Now, the problem is that teachers are intimidated in not teaching the particular subject. Now, it's unfortunate because a lot of our school children are being taught evolution as a fact, and it's paid for by your tax dollars. Now, that's a problem. I certainly don't want my tax dollars going for a one-sided view of education. Now, they can teach both strengths and weaknesses. For instance, in Texas, they just changed the mandate from the requirement of teaching strengths and weaknesses to teaching the sufficiencies and insufficiencies of evolution, three major areas, which includes the ape to man, macroevolution, the complexity of the cell, and I believe it's DNA.
Yes, life origins was also included there.
Which is a major victory for teaching. So you can teach, Dr. Hutchings, you can teach the secular version of creation without the biblical intentions of pushing religion. You can do it academically, but you can do it with a secular intent. And that is the key of teaching this in the public school.
And one fortunate thing is the book that we're discussing by Aaron Judkins approaches this subject academically. And actually, this information can be used in the public classroom because it is specific background research on the theory of evolution, that is, the introduction of evolution in the Babylonian era and the Greek era, and then its history through Darwinism and the current application in actual scientific analysis in fossil human footprints. And as clarification for this audience, the Edwards versus Aguilar, June the 19th, 1987, decision by the Supreme Court of the United States confirmed that the teacher already has the right to teach any concept of life origins as long as it is done with a secular intent in mind. Now, that's the disclosure. Aaron already mentioned this, a secular intent in mind or in view, which means that there can be no religious inference. There can actually be no listing of intelligent design. The whole thing must be secular or naturalistic. But even under that guise, with teaching the strengths and weaknesses or the consistencies and inconsistencies or the adequacies or inadequacies of any theory, actual experimentation that can be demonstrated can be used, and this book offers a tremendous value in that respect.
Now, in your book, of course, you go into much scientific information concerning the Darwinian theory and also special creation or versus one or the other. But the basic premise of your book gets down to the fact that footprints in stone all over the world, various parts of the world that have been uncovered, extracted, one of the main ones are down in Glen Rose, Texas, that in the introduction here you bring out, you have compared the footprints of ancient man with modern footprints, and in every factor, the toes, the heels, the arches, everything. In other words, they're not half-ape footprints. They're still human footprints, just like today.
You got it. One of the things that evolutionists try to do is assign the footprints to an ape or a hominid-type creature. Now, when they do that, they also assign it into a geological time frame of millions of years. So it really throws people off. For instance, the most famous sites probably in Tanzania, Africa, where Mary Leakey in the 70s found the Laetoli Trail. And the Laetoli Trail is in rock formation that's supposedly dated at 3.6 million years old. So there's a problem. They're totally modern, anatomically modern human footprints. Mary Leakey flew out Dr. Luis Robbins from North Carolina. He was and is the foremost expert on the human footprint and anatomy. And she flew him out there to get his assessment. Now, his bottom line assessment was this, that the footprints made at Laetoli were anatomically, modernly correct in their anatomy. In other words, they're not a transitional form. He compared to the local people of Tanzania who normally don't wear shoes, and there's no difference. As a matter of fact, they went as far as bringing in a trained bear and walking it around in wet mud to try to simulate these footprints. They just don't want to recognize the evidence for what it's telling them. And so this really poses a problem. When they reconstructed the skeletal structure of Lucy, who they claim is Australopithecus afarensis, who made these footprints at Laetoli, they incorrectly lined her big toe parallel. Now, the distinguishing factor of human footprints is that we have no opposable toes. Humans have no opposable toes. And we have a calcaneus bone, which is four times larger than a gorilla and twice as large as a chimpanzee, because that's the heel part, that's the shock absorber for walking. So they incorrectly aligned Lucy's big toe to make it look in the skeletal structure like it was human, but it is not.
We'll be back with Brother Ball and Aaron on the broadcast tomorrow. I would certainly encourage those out there who have children or grandchildren to get a copy of this book. If your children are in school, I think it would be worth your time and effort. This is a tremendous amount of information proving that Darwinism is wrong. Children are still taught this in school, and that is one reason why so many come back from college saying they don't believe in the Bible anymore. This is a very important book, and we're very privileged to be a partner with Dr. Ball and Brother Judkins in bringing this information out, because we've gone to much expense and time to get this information out. But here now is Brother Jerry to tell you how you can get a copy of this new book on proving that men and dinosaurs walk together. This is a tremendous step forward, I think, in discounting the theory of evolution. So here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. To get your copy of Dr. Judkins' book, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. The 256-page book is offered for a gift of $15 in the U.S., $17 in Canada. In his book, Dr. Judkins' exhaustive documentation of human footprints along with dinosaur footprints shows that the theory of evolution is a hoax. You may want to get extra copies to share with skeptics. If so, call for the gift amount for multiple copies. Phone 1-800-652-1144. When we've completed this series on Thursday, there will be three programs, and they too are available from Southwest Radio. Get them on CD or tape for an offering of $17 in the U.S., $18 for our Canadian listeners. This program is on this station by your tax-deductible contributions. For that reason, we ask that you please give us the call letters of the station you're listening to right now. We especially need to hear from some of the newer stations. If you listen over WVEL, Peoria, Illinois, the Kingdom Keys Network in the Panhandle of Texas, or the Alive Network in New York State, please let us know you're listening. If we don't receive enough support from these, or any of our stations for that matter, we can't continue on them. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. Dr. Judkins and Dr. Ball join Brother Hutchings tomorrow on your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News Report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. I'm Jerry Geltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. As America continues its slide down the slippery slope of cherished freedoms being assaulted, add another nail to the coffin that contains the remains of freedom of speech. Last year, a preacher in California was arrested for violating a law that prohibits unconsented approaches within 8 feet of persons seeking to enter abortion clinics. Walter Hoy was arrested and incarcerated for standing near an abortion clinic and telling those going by to have their baby's life terminated that Jesus loves their baby and he would like to help. That may not be a direct quote, but it is an approximation of what Brother Hoy was doing. Now, the district attorney wants him banned for life from returning to the clinic. We're quoting from Issues for Life, July 30th, 2009. Quote, at a hearing before Alameda County Superior Court Judge Stuart Hing, Deputy District Attorney Masano Morimoto revealed that the district attorney is seeking to ban Walter Hoy from ever returning to the Family Planning Specialist Clinic in Oakland, California. Hoy was arrested last year for violating Oakland's Mother May I law. Following his conviction, he was sentenced to 30 days in jail and an $1,100 fine, plus 3 years probation, during which time he was ordered to stay 100 yards from the clinic. Hoy exercised his right to turn down probation, but the judge proceeded to fill out the probation order anyway. Hoy served his time in jail, and the fine was paid. In the meantime, the district attorney's office continues its campaign to prohibit Reverend Hoy from peacefully offering alternatives to abortion-minded women. While the district attorney's initial motion asked for a 3-year stay away, papers filed in July confirmed by Morimoto state that the district attorney wants Hoy to be permanently enjoined from coming within 100 yards of the FPS clinic. Close quotes. Following his incarceration, Brother Hoy challenged Oakland's ordinance as being unconstitutional. On August 5th, Christian Newswire reported that Federal District Court Judge Charles Breyer ruled Oakland's Mother May I ordinance constitutional, setting the stage for a showdown in the Ninth Circuit. Close quotes. Another showdown awaits unbelievers who kill babies. It is the judgment at the Great White Throne. We read, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's from Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 and verse 15. That's today's Bible in the News report. To get a complimentary copy of the monthly Bible in the News question and answer publication, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma. The zip code is 73008. Or you may visit the website at swrc.com. And we invite you to join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program, when once again we will bring you either a Bible in the News report or a question and answer over this radio station.